Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, October 12, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 90, the third paragraph, Sometimes It Is Wise to Wait, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Rhonda R., 12 Traditions, Terry H. Reader of the text this morning is Stephanie L. Eileen M. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Dana P. The reference number for Monday, October 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,901. And for this morning, Tuesday, October 12th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 17,906. That's 17906. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Mary B., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. Thank you to all of you. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R. in Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm from a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever unprofessional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those that serve. And 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relationship policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on to be of service on the Tuesday team, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 90, the third paragraph, "Sometimes it is wise to wait," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Stephanie L. to begin reading. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge. The family may object to this, but unless he is in a dangerous physical condition, it is better to risk it. Don't deal with him when he is very drunk, unless he is ugly and the family needs your help. Wait for the end of the spree, or at least for a lucid interval. Then let his family or friend ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so. If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. You should be described to him as one of a fellowship who is part of their own recovery, try to help others, and who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. And I just want to refer back to the previous paragraph where it says that it's important when approaching a man or a woman, a compulsive overeater, that I have to put myself in their place. I have to think about how I would like to be approached if the tables were turned and the tables have been turned and, you know, this person was me. You know, I have to think about, you know, how I would want someone to have this conversation with me. And of course we can't, you know, I can't have a conversation with someone about the solution if they're, you know, drunk on food. I couldn't hear people when I was binging, when I was in that like totally zoned out state. So yeah, sometimes it is wise to wait until the person goes on a binge, maybe gets to another level of desperation. Because I do have to say, in my case, every time I picked up the food and every time I hurt myself with the food. It brought me to a level of deeper and deeper desperation and hopelessness. So it says it's best to wait for the end of the spree, or at least for a lucid interval, you know. And then this family, it's so different today. But I guess in those days, the family would say, hey, do you want to quit? And if so, will you go to any length, right? That would be a conversation that, you know, I would have that person today. And then here's the super cool thing, and this was told to me very early on. One of my first sponsors said, Stephanie, the only way that you are terminally unique, because I thought I was terminally unique, that, you know, I have this disease worse than everybody else. No one understands me. It may work for you, and it's not going to work for me, and all that was bullcrap. But the only way that I am terminally unique is in my ability to reach my hand out and help the still suffering compulsive overeater. Because my story, my experience, strength, and hope can give that person hope, right? And then it says here, you know, when they're being referred to me or to us, that I'm described as a person in a fellowship, you know, who is part of my recovery, has to help others. And isn't that like what this whole thing is about? I get to find a power greater than myself, who I call God, who removes this merciless obsession from me. I work the steps and become closer to that God. And then I get to be of service to others who are just like me. I get to put my hand out, and that is my responsibility, and I don't get to keep it if I don't share and help others along the way. I look at that and I get to cheerfully put my hand out and help someone else. And that is an awesome deal for someone like me. So thank you for letting me share it, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Noelle E., Louisiana.
Noelle E.
Felicia S.
Felicia S.
Terry G.
Terry C.
G, as in girl.
Terry G. And was there a Susan?
Teresa C.
Okay.
Eileen M.
Eileen M. Okay. Let me let you know who I got and see if I missed anyone. I have Noelle E., Felicia S., Terry G., Susan, and I'm not sure of your initial, Teresa C., and Eileen M. Did I miss someone? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Noelle E., please start for us, and we'll have Felicia S. follow after you. Good morning, Noelle.
Hi, this is Noelle E. May I be heard?
You sure can.
Great. Yeah, I'm from Louisiana, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, everybody, for your service on this line. I just... Higher power is so good. This paragraph is talking about things I don't know about. I've never sponsored, but every morning, you know, I read the last paragraph on page 88, where it says, you know, there's action and more action, and I'm on my 11th step right now and doing my amends, and so this is what's on the horizon. And all yesterday, higher power was showing me, you know, that I'm not unique, that there is so much, that I share with so many people. And the whole aim is to be of service. I was really being shown that, you know, perfectionism, spiritual perfection, you know, any of those things are just a fruitless endeavor. And that sometimes in my mind is how I can, look at what sponsoring might be like. And this is just proof that, there's no wrong way to do it when God has led you to where you are. So, especially the person who shared before and said, if I was in the food, I couldn't hear it. I mean, you hear it when you hear it. So all you can keep doing is putting it out there and try to be of service, and it might hit someone in the right way. And so that really moved me to share. And I hope this speaks to everybody as powerfully as it's speaking to me. So thanks for that. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noelle E. Now, Felicia S., will you share with us, followed by Terry G. Good morning, Felicia.
Felicia S., a recovering compulsive overeater. This paragraph is so me. I have 2 weeks back in recovery as of today, and abstinence in the food. And, nobody could talk to me 2 weeks ago and the week before that and the week before that when I was back in the food again. The message just, you guys all sounded like the teacher from Charlie Brown, and it was wah, 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 wah. I couldn't hear it. And it's like a veil has been lifted. And this paragraph, is very much about, am I willing? Is the new person, has like a mustard seed of willingness? Because if I'm not willing, there's somebody else you can be helping that is willing, and the time will come when hopefully, if it's God's grace and God's plan, I will become willing. I was ashamed and embarrassed to come back to these meetings, and I'm here because each of you is kind and loving and open. And, my sponsor cared more about my recovery than my feelings. And that's what it talks about in this paragraph. How do we approach? How do we come to the person who is so desperate and sick and suffering and dying and reach our hand out to them in a way that isn't condescending and forcing, but is a way that says, I've been in that hole and I know how to get out. And I know that you guys have been in that hole and you know the way out. So thank you for leading the way. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Felicia S. And now Terry G., will you share with us, followed by Susan. Good morning, Terry.
Hi, yes, good morning. It's Terry G. in Colorado, gratefully a member of Vision for You and a compulsive overeater, recovering one day at a time. Thank you, God. And I'm just always so inspired to be on a meeting with you all, just the fellowship we crave. And thank you so much to Stephanie for getting us started. So inspiring. I just want to emphasize what I heard in your share. We get to connect with each other. And that's what step 12 to me is all about, that I'm not alone. This disease is going to kill me if I do not stay in the middle of the herd, working my program. And for me, currently, with 2 months of abstinence, I have a new fire under me for step 12 that I get to carry the message. And even though I am not currently sponsoring, it makes me want to get back to being that step guide. It makes me call newcomers as much as I possibly can, because getting connected with you all keeps me abstinent one day at a time. And the idea of staying connected helps me practice staying connected to my higher power. And what's working for me today is just waking up, opening my eyes, and my higher power I call God. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for my program. Thank you, God, for this breath. and just starting my day off in that connection, you know, that's what I get to share. You know, when I call a newcomer and I let them know, you know, what's working for me, it just lights a fire in my heart and reminds me why we do this work, why it's so important to stay abstinent so that I can have the willingness to connect with you guys. And I'm not, you know, in the self-pity and the morass, the remorse, the morbid reflection that the food causes. So this paragraph, I try to help others. Even though I'm not a sponsor right now, I go to any extreme to connect with you guys. So if you are still in the food, just, you know, you can call other newcomers, reach out to other people, because that's what has been working for me to stay abstinent one day at a time. So bless you all. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Carrie G. from Colorado. Susan, will you share with us now and tell us your initial and where you're calling from? And you're going to be followed by Teresa C. Good morning, Susan. Star one, Susan. Okay, I think Susan might have had to step away. Terry C., will you share, please, with us? May I be heard? Am I being heard? Hello?
I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Is Teresa C. able to share at this time?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
Hello, I'm Teresa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. In this paragraph, I kind of have three things that I noted from that. And the first one is towards the top there, don't deal with him if he's very drunk. Okay, so these are my instructions for when I'm, you know, getting to know somebody. So that's why I encourage, and I was encouraged, to have some days of abstinence before I start working with somebody. And that's what my sponsor asked of me. So we worked together on helping me to be a few days abstinence before we started to work. And then the second one is in the middle of the paragraph. And to me, this is a reiteration of what's at the top of the page. And I've been told that, you know, if something's repeated in the big book, it's because it's important. And at the top of the page, in that first paragraph, it says, don't, if he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. And then in the middle of the paragraph we're working on today, it says, ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so. So this is kind of assessing willingness. Because we're told, really, if this is going to work, that the person needs to, you know, be desperate enough and to want, and that willingness is just so important in our program as well. So here's the, you know, the person has to have the willingness. Yes, I want to do this. And then the last thing at the bottom of that paragraph, one of the fellowship who, as part of their own recovery, try to help others and who will be glad to talk with him. So to me, community is just really important in our program. And a beautiful thing about our program. And I was in OA for many years and was wondering what was wrong with me, because I never seemed to either be ready or have the opportunity to be a sponsor. And I'm like, there's something wrong here. and then when I came to Visions, I went through the steps with my sponsor, and I felt as if I was ready. And my higher power brought me sponsors, brought me some sponsees. And I got to experience that beautiful part of the program and got to understand it better. This whole thing about how, oh my goodness, I actually get to, it helps me stay abstinent. So I get to the gift of that as I'm helping somebody else. To me, it just, it doesn't get any better than that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Teresa C. Now, is Susan back on the line and available to share? Okay, perhaps Susan had to step away. Eileen M., will you share with us, please? And I want to remind everyone, we are on page 90, the third paragraph, starting with, sometimes it is wise to wait. We're commenting on that one paragraph only on page 90. So, Eileen M., please share with us, and then I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And, yeah, I remember my own experience starting this process. I remember, you know, I called a group of sponsors, and I just went with the sponsor that called me back first. And, you know, I didn't have to interview her or anything. I just, the first thing she asked me was, are you – you know, do you want to quit for good, just like it says here? And are you willing to go to any length? And no one had ever asked me that before. I had a long series of sponsors before I found the Vision for You meeting. And, you know, I didn't know whether it was going to work for me or not, but I was entirely ready. I was just, you know, really had reached desperation. And, you know, I did a lot of soul searching after that conversation. I thought, do I really want to go through with this process? And, you know, I realized that I wanted the recovery that I heard on the meetings more than anything in the world. And I thought, okay, you know, that, to me, that's, you know, that's ready. You know, it's entirely ready. And, you know, that desire just propelled me to do, you know, whatever was asked of me. And I remember just... you know, just doing whatever my sponsor said. She said, get entirely absent for 2 days, send me your food plan, you know, send me what compulsive food behaviors you're giving up or that are, you know, that are problems for you. And, you know, I'm kind of like a person that really, when I really want to do something, I become very focused and driven. And, you know, I was so grateful that the process was not this nebulous, unstructured, you know, where are we going kind of thing. It was very focused, and there were assignments to do, and there were suggestions, and I just did everything that she asked me. And, you know, it makes me, you know, just think about that phrase, you know, God does for me what I can't do for myself, not what I can do. You know, so there were actions that I could take. And, you know, it just, I was really surprised at the end, you know, in like less than 3 months, I was on step 12, and I was ready to sponsor. And, you know, it says in here that, you know, we're glad to help. And I was, you know, glad to help because I wanted to share the gift. It was just, it's so amazing. It just amazes me to this day to have this gift. And, you know, this happened back in 2016. And I just, you know, I never imagined it could be like this, you know, that my life could be so different. And I'm very grateful. Thank you.
And thank you, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. And I'm going to be taking some more names. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So who would like to share with us today?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Who else would like to share? We're on page 90, the third paragraph. Sometimes it is wise to wait. Who is that?
Barb R.
Barb R. Okay. Who else would like to share?
Phil M.
Phil M. Okay. Let's start with those three. Jordan L., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on meeting with you all this morning. excuse me. This I love this, Dash. I was really excited to start sponsoring. I had found a solution to my problem, and so I was really, really excited to share that with other compulsive overeaters, just because I had struggled for so long with self-reliance and my weight and kind of living in this, my own little world, removed from everyone else and everything else. And the steps, walking through the steps with a sponsor really brought me back to a place where I could start to understand what it meant to live a life that was not 100% self-centered, you know? And I really started to lean into this, like this idea that I don't have all the answers. I'm not supposed to have all the answers, and like walk in the path, you know, kind of sort of blindly in a way. Not that I didn't have specific directions and instructions from a sponsor, but we don't really know where we're going. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really know what this looks like on the other side. At least I didn't. I had no idea what it meant to live a life that was other-centered or God-centered or not 100% centered around me. I just didn't know what that looked like. So when I made this discovery that I had, like, recovered from this, I had 6 months of abstinence, and I was stoked. and I started working with others, you know. I'm not even sure that I was helpful to them, but it was helpful to me. I was staying abstinent. And I really started to understand that, like, this process is inherently or intrinsically not about me. Like this spiritual experience doesn't occur unless this isn't about me. I have to have other compulsive overeaters. I have to have a fellowship. And I'm just so grateful for that today. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Barb R., please share with us now, followed by Phil M. Good morning, Barb. Press star one, Barb.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yep, sure can.
This is Barb R. from Ontario, Canada. What I was thinking about was a lot of summer time, we just go to OA meetings. I've been in another program, and I've been in and out of going to OA meetings for 30 years. I just go to a few and leave. And this June, or about last January, I came to kind of a bottom for me. I couldn't control my eating. And I start go to meetings, and it was okay. But I would share that I'm not, you know, still eating. I'm not done yet. And then I start to listen to Vision, and people were saying, they were saying, I'm recovered, and talking about the steps, and I was like, oh my God. All of a sudden, I just kept thinking, you need to do the steps, you need to do the steps. But I was still eating, and then in June, I was laid off from work, and I thought, oh my God, like, it's like I've been given this opportunity. And I connected with someone in August, and they started with me, and I didn't want to do anything they said, but I decided to do everything they said. And I am so grateful. I'm recovered now, and I don't know how it all happened. All I know is I did what I was told, and it's happening for me. So I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Barb R. from Canada. And now, Phil M., will you share with us, please? Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. It's just wonderful to be here. My name is Phil M. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Ireland, and it took me so long to say that in vision, and it was awesome to be able to say that, and it still is awesome to be able to say that. I was in OA for 7.5 years, desperately wanting to be of use. You know, I love doing service, setting up the rooms and different things, and that was when it was face-to-face. And really, in all that time, I was only ever able to sponsor one girl, absolutely fabulous woman, to step five before I lost my abstinence. And the fear of sponsoring kept sending me back into the food. I just didn't have any clarity as to how I would do that. Mind you, 7.5 years of some abstinence was better than 7.5 years just completely out in the food. But in September 2019, someone came to give a retreat in Dunleary, and I got my current sponsor, who's been amazing. I've worked the steps with her twice now. Absolutely incredible. And such clarity to do it this way, a vision for you. And it is, I haven't been absent the whole time. I've had a couple of slips, and the last time was in February this year. But, you know, I got straight back on again, and so much joy in this way of doing it. And I've sponsored quite a few people now since in those 2 years. Not everyone has managed to get through all the steps, and that's not their fault. It's not my fault. There's a disease, and it's a nasty one. And we all have our different experiences, and I believe that nothing is wasted. All those years of relapsing taught me compassion towards myself and compassion towards others. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will realize, you know, how we can be useful to others. And it is, it's an amazing life to be useful to others. I had a couple of people calling me yesterday, and you know, what a privilege. What a privilege. People never used to share any of their problems with me at all. I just wasn't that kind of a person. I couldn't handle my own problems. I certainly wasn't able to handle anyone else's problems. Not that I handle it, I'm just a listening ear. But it's a real privilege to be here and to be useful and to be helpful. And just thank you very much for allowing me to trudge this road of happy destiny with you all. It's amazing. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Phil M. from Northern Ireland. Just so lovely to hear your share. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. We are on page 90, the third paragraph. Sometimes it is wise to wait. We're commenting on that paragraph. Who would like to share with us?
Debbie N., Ohio.
Debbie N. And there was another voice in there?
Kathy Z.
Kathy Z. And I'll take another name. Okay, let's go with Kathy, or I'm sorry, let's go with Debbie N. Followed. Who is that? Hillary. Okay, and what's your initial, Hillary?
S.
Okay, very good. Debbie N., please share with us, followed by Kathy Z. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. This is Debbie N. From Ohio, grateful compulsive overeater in recovery. And this paragraph really speaks to me because I've come to believe that all things happen in God's perfect timing. I had gone through the 12 steps with the sponsor and felt I was ready to be a sponsor. And I had a couple of people that I did, but it didn't work out. And even though I put my name out, nobody was calling me until in my prayer, I realized that, as they say, you cannot give what you do not have. What I realized was that I had needed to work more on my spiritual fitness, and that in order to sponsor another person, I had to feel that I had done my utmost to develop and practice a spiritual fitness. I'm working with a sponsor now, focusing primarily on that and really giving dedicated time to daily meditation and prayer. And I'm finding that that is not only helping my program, but it will certainly help me when I do sponsor again in God's perfect timing. But meanwhile, what I've realized is that I can make outreach calls. That's the way I can give service, is to reach out to those that are new, to call other sponsors, just to do an outreach call in that way. So again, when it's time for me to sponsor, I'll put my name out there and trust that God will bring me the person, connect me with the individual to whom he has intended. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie N. And I believe you're from Ohio. Is that correct? I believe
that is correct, Ohio.
Fantastic. Thank you, Debbie. And now Kathy Z, will you share with us, followed by Hillary S. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for moderating. This is Kathy Z from Washington State, and gratefully recovered by God's grace, one day at a time. And boy, just the previous share, she basically said what I was going to say. But so I just really feel I'm so grateful for Step 11, because I really feel that spiritually I need to be working Step 11 throughout my day, and that this relationship with God, my higher power, is key to everything, to my abstinence, to my outreach, to my relationship with others, everything. I cannot have sobriety without God's grace and God's help, God's power in my life. And so I'm willing to do that Step 11 work every day. And the more I do that, the more my health becomes in order. And I'm so grateful to be able to see that. My life has been so complicated since I became abstinent. Lots of personal things going on in very little time. But I've been able to, ask God, how can I be helpful to the man who's still sick? And as my relationship and dependence on God is growing and becoming even, more of a necessity every day, every minute sometimes of every day, the more God is working in me and preparing me to do his will and do this work and reaching out to others. And so I'm able to do that. And I'm able to do that without thinking about what am I doing? Am I sponsoring? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? It's God, what would you have me be? What am I doing in your will? Equip me with what I need and just let him be the pilot. And what's happening is just beautiful, beautiful relationships. People are calling me that I haven't heard from in a while, and they need experience, strength, and hope, and I can give that to them. And then I have my God squad that I reach out to. And so I just, this morning, the first thing that came up is, oh my gosh, Lord, you've put my house in order. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I know that because of the people that he's bringing to me in my life. And I just feel so grateful to be a vessel for his work and helping other people find this spiritual way of life and to become abstinent, sober in their food addiction. And so thank you, God. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kathy Z from Washington. And now Hillary S, will you share with us? Good morning, Hillary.
Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Oh, thanks. I'm Hillary from Utah. This part at the beginning about waiting until someone has a binge, I mean, it's not to say that we should go tell a newcomer to just go out and binge like crazy or that is like instructions to them. But I know for me, the last couple weeks I had of binging were so bad and so extreme that then when I came to this program a few weeks ago, that's kind of what made me so ready to go to any length. Not because I didn't want it before, but because I realized that I would be going to any length in the disease. Like that's where it took me, was to such dire lengths. And so it became really black and white and really clear that I would be fully into this spiritual life or fully out of it. And how great it's been to be coming fully into it and to see how worth it that is. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Hillary S. from Utah. And we do have a few minutes here if someone else would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Is there someone else who would like to share this morning on this paragraph?
Larry G.
Larry G., go ahead, please.
Good morning, and thank you for your commitment to this fellowship. And I want to thank all of you for supporting me, and hopefully I support you. This is a great practice to wait not only before you start working with a recovering members program, but also before I send emails or texts. You know, I have something to say to my wife, which oftentimes is precisely the wrong thing I need to say. As we're studying this, I realize that this is a step that I have loosely gone over. You know, we at this point from step 1 through 10, a lot of work, and then we start cruising. I start cruising step 11, and then this is just kind of, you know, I just briefly go over this. And this is, as we're reading, I realize this is a really important step. And I've asked my sponsor, actually, to go over this. I want to make sure my motives are pure. Because I'm a convincer, man. I am a convincer. My career was on Wall Street, and, you know, my job was sales. And my job was to convince you that this financial plan that I was putting together would help you to reach financial security. And oftentimes, people were not ready to do it. So I made sure that they knew the value of it and take them through it. Well, that convincing doesn't work when you're working with another member's program. And I've done this. And I could tell you that some of the times my sponsee has retired from working with me has been precisely the amount of convincing. I'm not doing that so much anymore. In fact, I'm really committed to not do that. I want to help people find their own answers. You know, I just want to share my experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully, you know, that's enough for people. And as someone else said online, there's really nothing we can do or not do. God's in charge here. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. Thank you so much for your service. I'm out.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. And thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just such a beautiful, beautiful experience for all of us. We will now close with a reading on the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive reader, New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.